This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers, and hi, Susie.
Hi, Barbara, and welcome, groomers, to episode 21 of The Groom Pod. Join us at the discussion group on Facebook. You can find it at facebook.com/groups/thegroompod. You can also find us on our website, thegroompod.com. And you can find us on Stitcher and iTunes. And please rate and review us on iTunes there. That always helps us out.
This week's show schedule is brought to you by PetSmart. Go to the GroomPod website, click on the PetSmart banner, and do your shopping to support the show.
Hey, groomers. Here's your show schedule. Mardi Paws Pet Expo, May 30th through 31st in Kenner, Louisiana. Intergroom, June 6th through 8th, Somerset, New Jersey. Pet Quest, June 25th through 28th, Wilmington, Ohio. Super Zoo, July 21st through 23rd, Las Vegas, Nevada. All American Grooming Show, August 6th through 9th, Wheeling, Illinois. And that's it for this month.
What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bbird.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma.
So, Barbara, what's new this week?
Well, this week I had an adventure in retro grooming.
Ooh, nice.
Retro styling. And my very good client that has two show quality miniature poodles, one of which bombed out of his career because he went oversize, and the other one finished his championship as a puppy.
Wow.
And these dogs come in every month, and the one that her first one that didn't finish his show career, she's had me do it in a number of different styles. So we had him in a Continental when he was showing. And although I didn't set that pattern, I maintained it for a number of months. And we've had him in a showy lamb style. And then lately I've been doing a number four all over with bracelets and puffs. And so I've still got his bracelets and puffs from his show career kind of going. And she texted me and said, I'd like you to do Zen in a Dutch trim.
Oh, wow.
And I said, my first reaction was just like a giant groan, like, oh no, I thought we put that behind us, you know?
And I would have had to grab for my phone and started Googling to make sure.
Well, you know what? I have the original 1980s Callstone book on poodle grooming that has the specific instructions, and that's what we ended up doing. So not only did I take it on, but I found in the Callstone book, I found the Bolero Dutch, which utilizes the bracelets and puffs.
Nice.
So I didn't have to ditch my, you know, I take pride in the fact that I can do really nice bracelets and puffs. It's a hard thing.
I actually take pride in the fact that you do nice bracelets and puffs.
It's a difficult skill set to master. It really is. And I've nailed it. And it took me a long time to get that. And so I didn't really want to shave down those bracelets and puffs. And I found that style and I showed her the picture and she went for it. And then the other thing that I did is that I called in my protege, Crystal Dunn, who grooms in my shop. She rents my table from me on days that I'm not grooming. And we can talk about that another time. It's definitely an option to think about. But I called her in to help me scissor these two miniature poodles, one in the fancy lamb trim, and he gets a full top knot and mane.
Oh, nice.
And then we did the Dutch together, and we used the original Callstone book, and we, we talked our way through it. We found the anatomy points. She held her fingers on the spine while I ran the clippers from the tail. She was just moving her fingers back and I was following her fingers. And it was a total team effort. And then she did all of the finish. You know, we set the pattern together and then she finished it off. She's an awesome, gifted scissor. I mean, it's amazing how some people have this extra gift. I don't have that gift. I'm probably in an upper echelon, but only because I've worked and worked and worked and worked at it. But this woman has been grooming only 4 years and she cannot scissor me on any given dog. Now I have more depth of understanding about the overall stylings and the nuances of the terriers and that kind of stuff. But just pure scissor finish skills. She's got a gift from the heavens, I'm telling you. So she finished the dog. It looked really good. Picture taking was awful because both of those dogs are shiny black and don't photograph well. And I couldn't get Zen to stack well on my table. We're gonna have to get that dog photographed again next time, but it was an awesome experience and it was just really fun to do it as a team. And of course my assistant Yvonne prepped the coats. And
so how long did it take you? How long, let me ask that differently, how long did you have the dog?
The two dogs, well, there was two of them, right. The two dogs came in at noon and went out at 4:30. Well, look at it this way. I charged $120 for the retro Dutch, nice. Bolero Dutch. I mean, that was a good 2.5 hour.
Did the owner love there. It?
Oh, she was ecstatic. She was through the roof. Because what she wanted was, a proper Dutch. She wanted a Dutch trim that was done with the aesthetics of the original trim. Because it is a trim that you still see, but it's kind of lost its center. It's lost its reference point. It can be kind of wonky. And so she wanted to see, quote, a proper Dutch, and we really delivered.
Yeah, nice.
That was fun. And the other thing that was really rewarding this week was that my little cocker that I've been using as an experiment with the Madramore mud.
Yes.
You know, this is a dog that for her entire life has been miserable with skin issues. And for the last 2 years that I've been grooming her and she's been rehomed with these people that have money to spend thousands of dollars on dermatologists, they still have not been able to reduce her itching. And I have succeeded in making that dog the most comfortable she's been ever using a combination of the Madramore fortifying mud and colloidal oatmeal in my oats that I get from Laube. It's a miracle. And they've gone off for their summer in Seattle.
No way. And,
they're up that way.
Cool.
They have a groomer up there, and I sent the whole package. I sent a shampoo, the mud, and the oatmeal, and a printout protocol of how to use them. And I prefaced it like, I know how obnoxious it is when customers come in with written instructions on how you are to groom their dog and give you products that you want to use, but please don't take offense and just try this with us for the sake of Sadie. And because I think we've really hit on a combination of things that's helping that dog a lot.
Well, where do you get the mutt? Because I've got some skin dogs. I have some.
I love the dog. I used it yesterday. I used the mud on two very elderly poodles that have compromised skin. You know how icky old dog skin gets, tissue paper, parchment like, and flaky, and it really helped. Get it from Groomers Mall.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I saw that little poodle on Facebook. It looked very happy.
Yeah, she was a happy little girl. And I just continue to find good uses for the mud. And I think it's an excellent product.
Okay, now it's my turn. My turn.
Okay, your turn for this week.
First and foremost, I have been using all of your tips about the fluffy leg, shorter body haircuts.
Yeah.
I have gotten 2 compliments.
Good.
Yes. And I wanted to thank you because I'm so happy about it. I put the clipper back down. I put it down. And I grabbed my regular clippers. And I used, the snap-on combs over the 40 blade. And I did it. And they look, and I didn't hate them when I was done with them. And I didn't pick at them after I was done with them. I left them alone. And then I handed the dogs over. One of them is a real leggy Maltese with one leg that kind of turns the wrong direction. No, I think it turns this way.
Yeah.
And the other one is straight. And then I got a phone call later that night that the husband called, wanted her to call me and tell me that the dog had never looked so good. He couldn't even see the funny leg. And of course, Peggy never knew about the funny leg, but apparently her husband did. Because I've hidden it pretty well, but I never hid it like I hid it this time. It was perfect. So kudos
great.
To you.
Thank you.
Yes, but that is not the most exciting part, because the most exciting part is we had the Northwest Grooming Show. And, you know, there's nothing that gets me more excited about grooming than going to a grooming show. And this one was a barn burner. It was just spectacular.
Great.
Yeah. We remember we talked about last week or the week before. I guess it was the week before that I wasn't going to be able to get in. Well, thanks to Todd, I did get in. And if the few of us that were on Facebook, he was able to get us seats in the room. So we did get in. But this year's show was a little bit different for me because I usually find something to compete in. But with my diabetic cat, I can't even leave my house until 9 o'clock. So I miss the first class every day. And of course, the first classes are always the coolest classes. The first class in the morning, 2 days out of the week or out of the weekend, was the Asian fusion class. So I didn't get to see either one of those. But I did get to see the dogs after they were done. And what great talent both Kat and Michelle Evans have, Kat Opson and Michelle Evans. I mean, just both of them just ooze talent in every direction. And it's just so much fun to see how Asian fusion is exploding in the industry. This year they had great classes. I mean, really good classes, but standing room only in every room. That was pretty neat.
Yeah. That's neat. Yeah.
It was only Sunday morning where you could get into the rooms without having to sit in the back row, or for me, stand in the back row because I'm so fidgety. I don't like to fidget in front. Unless I know the speaker. Like if you're speaking and I'm in there, you know I'm in the front row. But I spent a lot of time networking about the podcast with industry shakers and movers. Yeah, and they all seem to think that we've got something special, and I totally agree. And after forgetting to post the Best Up episode last week, I can't believe I did that. I finished it on Sunday and completely forgot to put it up. I know it. Well, I listened to it, and I feel like we've come a long way in a short time in our interactions and deliveries. So that was kind of cool. But anyway, I got to the show, and the vendors have spilled out into the atrium now. So that is, that's exciting. So they had Randy from Precision Sharp out in the very front, which is good because you can just hit him right off the bat and drop your shears off. So I did that on the first day. And right next to him, of course, is my always second stop, which is Stylist Wear. And I got 3 new smocks with really cool, like, they've got sparkles on them, and they got little paw prints, and they've got purple, and I got a blue, royal blue one, and I got a pink one, and they are getting rave reviews from my clients. Well, at least the pink one, because that's the only one I've worn so far. And so I did a little bit of shopping, and then I met up with Brandy, Sharon, Joanne, and Char, who were all part of the Washington Alliance of Groomers that we had a few years ago.
Right, I remembered them all. Hi, yep. Ladies.
Yes, it was so cool. So we hung out all day, and we went to lunch together and commiserated and talked about grooming. And, you know, I love that. That is almost worth all of the time right there and money just to go hang out with your groomer friends and talk about our jobs. We ate in that little cafe in the hotel for lunch and then went back in and did some more classes in the afternoon. And then once again, because of my cat, I couldn't stay for the meet and greet. But at that point, I could tell right off the bat that this show has grown. There were so many more people there. I couldn't find a place to park. I could not, and I was not parking my new Infiniti hardtop convertible special car.
Excuse me.
I was not going to park it on the street, so I ended up being very hoity-toity and valet parking my car.
There's a time for everything. There's a time and a place for everything, and you had to treat your car right.
I did, and they parked it right out front so I could drag everybody over there and show off my new car. So that was fun. There were a different mix of vendors this time. There was a lot of shampoo and bows, bandanas, and tons and tons of shears, but no real equipment vendors. I mean, the table people were there, but Forever Stainless didn't come, which I don't blame them because I know it's expensive for them to come out. So I would have liked to have seen more equipment vendors, although I'm happy to have more vendors in any way. And, you know, Todd was saying it's exploding out here. So that's cool. And the Murano Hotel is giving us more room next year. So we're going to actually have the seminars over in the hotel instead of in the annex. So that's cool. We're just growing and they're happy with us and we never make mistakes for them. So that's good. It's always good to keep that relationship at the hotels.
Oh, I love that hotel. It's just got to be one of my favorite experiences was the Hotel Murano.
So that was what it was. The contests were great. We watched a lot of them because I was standing room only in some of the classes and couldn't get in. So that was fun. We watched the poodles. I thought of you as I was standing there watching Creative. My favorite entry did not win, but it was so cool. A black poodle that was carved into a rhododendron bush.
And oh, my God.
Oh, it was just brilliant pink flowers on the and dark green and then the black dog. And it was just really neat. And then up the front of her table, she had a bunch of slugs climbing up the front of the table to a reindeer beer can. It was just spectacular. I think Angela did her sock monkey puppet and she won the People's Choice. And Kat Opson won the main award with her Scooby-Doo design.
All right. That was that.
So that was my experience at the Northwest Grooming Show. One other thing I want to mention is that I did spend a lot of time over at the Cascade Grooming Supplies booth. And Michael had stapled our Groom Pod postcards on the front of the price list. And I, again, promised him a couple of ads. So here we go with ad number two for Michael. Cascade Grooming Supplies is a local supplier to us in the Northwest. They have a warehouse in Monroe, Washington, but they're also available online at www.cgsupplies.com. And their phone number is 888-805-1807. Cascade Grooming Supplies carries shampoos, styling aids, dryers, bathing systems, clippers, shears, blades, and pretty much all things grooming, plus a little bit of dog show stuff like harnesses and leads and collars. And they carry Best Shot, Chris Christensen's, Show Seasons, Andis, Canine Dryers, Wall, among all the others. And best of all, you get Michael's expert advice. And he's a great liaison between the vendors and the groomers and a wealth of information, plus just a fun guy to hang out with. So I recommend you guys all take a look at Cascade Grooming Supplies at cgsupplies.com or give Michael a call at 888-805-1807.
I just had an idea. Wouldn't it be fun to have a panel or even just a dinner with you and I and Michael Olson and Dave Campanella. Wouldn't you like to see Michael Olson, Dave Campanella, and me in the same conversation?
I would, especially if there was some adult libations involved.
Maybe we'll have to take the podcast
on the road.
On the road, right.
I like that idea.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Okay, well, let's head over to our first appointment today, and we're going to talk about dryer care. And dryers, of course, are a very important part of our business, and they do require a little bit of maintenance, and they do fall into that mechanical area that so frightens you, Barbara. So tell me about the dryers you have in your shop.
In my shop, at this time, I have a K9 2 and a Demco stand dryer, 7000, I think it is, a Laube Magnum Force small dryer with a variable switch. And at my table, I have a handheld dryer from Sally's, an Ion dryer from Sally's in a hold a hose holder. And I also have have used a lot Cool Dry, which I have at home now. So I have a little bit of experience with a number of dryers. And in my past, I've used a Demco box dryers, and I've used several Double K Challenge Air box dryers. Oh, and the other dryer that I have that's a key element in my shop is a Sahara Turbo duct dryer, ambient air duct dryer. That okay. I don't think we can even get anymore. So I have all of those. And the Sahara Turbo duct dryer, I've had probably for 20 years and never done a thing.
That's impressive. They don't make them like that anymore.
No, I've never done a thing. I mean, maybe blown off some hair from the intake screen a couple of times. And my K9 2, I've had that dryer for at least 15 years, and I've changed the brushes twice. What do you have?
I've got a K9 2. I have a Challenge Air 550 hang on the cage dryer that sits in my garage because I don't have any cages, so it's pretty much useless for me. I have a handheld and this dryer, and I have a old Lange double motor dryer that I use for my backup. So my oldest dryer is the K9 2, and I've replaced the brushes twice in that, and it's 1996. So yeah, that's getting up there, 20 years almost.
That's 20 years, yeah. That dryer is a kind of a bitch to, excuse my language, but it's a podcast, is a bitch to change brushes on because of the front to back placement of the motors. So it's hard to get to that inside motor. I have to have the handy guy who's pre-warned to do that. They have to know what they're doing to do that.
I box mine up and send it to Ryan's.
Well, that's pretty good. How much shipping does that?
It's like $20, I think.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No, it isn't. And they turn it around really fast, and they send
Ryan's does great clipper and dryer repair work because they basically recondition your equipment when you send it in. I mean, no stone goes unturned. They don't just do the obvious, but they check out everything. I've had them recondition clippers and given old clippers that have been in a box for years whole new life.
Yes, they are really good. And they even tolerate the fact that we completely disassembled the whole switch area in my K9 2 and ran electrical cord through the holes so that I can plug them in separately and control them in the inside of my grooming trailer. They never mess with it. They always send it back just exactly crazy rewired as we have it. And it's great. They do a great job. I agree. Dryers should last you a really, really, really long time.
I think there's one important thing. You're probably going to be about to say it, and I just co-opted you. But I think the most important thing is that you blow off the intake screen.
And that's correct.
You know, I don't change my canine to filter a whole lot. I mean, not nearly as much as they would like me to, but I do blow out the filter. And I try, as a shop owner, I have to kind of monitor my employees because they'll do silly things like put the back of a dryer up against the wall. Then you don't get enough air through there, and that makes the motor work twice as hard.
See, you are mechanical.
Well, I do know certain things. I just don't like to fool around with electricity or gas.
No one does. The most important thing to extend the life of your motor is to make sure it has adequate airflow, because choking down the airflow will shorten the life tremendously of any mechanical item.
I know, and I have you running across groomers sharing with each other that you could cut down the sound of your canine too by putting it in a box?
Oh my God, can't imagine. Yeah, that's just, you know what, people, wear your ear protection. Don't put your canine too in a box. You will shorten its lifespan. And its lifespan should pretty much be forever. If you vacuum out your filter and you keep the hair off of it, and then you replace it every 3 or 4 months with one, because there's microbial size stuff that gets into those filters and that do eventually choke them down. So you do need to eventually change that filter.
Yeah, and that's a cheap thing.
Yep, I buy 6 of them so that I'm never going, gee, I need to order a filter and replace it. I always have the filter. In the old days, the plastic for the canine 2 filter used to be much more sturdy. Now it's kind of flimsy. So the last time they repaired it, they always put a new filter on and it had cracked somehow in shipping. So just get yourself some, Costco size backup of filters, and you'll be able to change your filter out when you need it, and you will make that dryer last a lot longer. Now, a lot of the filters on the dryers are not replaceable, but they are cleanable. Sometimes, like those Challenger hang on the cage dryers, they have a Velcroed in plastic filter that you just pull out and vacuum and clean and blow and then stick back on. I see those neglected a lot. Like, I walk into the vet hospital I used to work at, and they'll have 3 Challenger dryers hanging on, and they'll be caked with hair and no air will be going through. And then I get constant phone calls from the vet saying I need to buy another dryer, and I just want to go beat those groomers up for letting that happen, because a dryer is an expensive, valuable piece of equipment that can be easily maintained.
And if it doesn't have airflow, it's going to burn the brushes 10 times faster. On the cool dry, I had one of the original cool dries that we bought from Ron Greenberger, whatever his name was, Ron in Phoenix. He used to sell these dryers at the dog show, and gradually they entered into the pet grooming world, but they were just little boxes, and you could replace the filter with these kind of sponge type cleaner. Home Depot, you could cut into these rectangular pieces and just slip it in there, and it worked just as good as the original filter material. In fact, might have been the original filter material.
My lamp filter has that kind.
Yeah. And there's just these kind of scrub things at Home Depot that are perfect for that. You know, you can be creative and be inventive, but you've got to let that air flow and not allow a whole lot of hair and dust to get inside your dryer. So that's another thing that I do sometimes, is that on my arm dryer, I blow with my high velocity dryer through the motor of my arm dryer so that crap comes out the mouth of the arm dryer. I blow both ways just to try to blow anything that's collecting inside there through the motor so that it doesn't just build up inside the dryer.
That is so important, because stuff gets in there and then it binds up on the moving parts. You know, there's always something that's twisting in that motor, and hair is insidious. It just gets in the tiniest cracks and crevices. I know, because when I take like the face plates off my grooming trailer, there's stacks of hair in behind the face plate. Well, there doesn't even appear to be a space in there, and yet piles of fluffy undercoat.
Hair. Yeah, it's like water. The issue that I'm having with my arm dryer is that the arm seems to be too heavy, and it keeps falling downward. It makes me want to throw it through the wall. I am about at my wit's end with this, and I really like to get a perfect fluff finish on my grooming dogs. It's one of the ways my service stands out. I can't get as good a perfect fluff finish using just the high velocity dryer. I've got to do the last bit with the arm dryer and a brush.
You might have to bite the bullet and buy a new one.
What is aggravating me so is that the motor on the, this is not an old dryer. My first Ademco arm dryer lasted me for 25 years. And it's a backup in my garage because the motor is still working. It's just that the cord had to keep getting clipped to, because it would kind of like get funky around the plug. And so we get kind of, so now the cord is like 4 feet long and the heat control doesn't work anymore. The motor on this more new, I mean, it's maybe 5 or 6 years old. It's perfect, but the darn arm keeps just falling to the table and it's so annoying. And
you got to get a handyman in there who can think outside of the box and come up with a way to fix the one you have, because, you know, it's probably.
Yeah, I've had handymen. Let's not talk. I have a song about that. Well, he's my handyman. Well, anyway.
Okay, so let's talk about parts of the dryer that you need to keep an eye on. And you just brought one up that I have listed first, and that is the cord. So the cord is replaceable on most dryers. Depending on how exciting you are about being mechanical, you can try to do it yourself, or you can take it into a vacuum repair place or a small appliance repair place, and they can often repair that cord. You can either replace the end of the cord like Barbara has done, where you keep cutting off the end and putting a new plug on the end. That is pretty easy to do. Or you can replace the entire plug like we do oftentimes with our clippers. You can do that with a dryer as well. So the way to make your cord last longer is don't pull it out by the cord. Pull it out by the plug. So reach in there a little farther, grab that plastic head, and pull the cord out that way. Because that's what wrecks most of our cords.
Right, I know that.
Yep, there's also the housing on the dryer, and that's a pretty maintenance-free kind of a situation. But you can wipe it down with those handy wipes or wipe it down with a wet rag or a little bleach just to keep it clean. That's about all you have to do with the housing. The filter we've talked about, replace it on a regular schedule and clean it every day. You can wear out a switch. Now that's another part. You said your switch was kind of worn out on the other stand dryer.
Yeah, and the switch on this hand dryer got wonky, and we've kind of jerry-rigged another switch thing. My handyman was able to do that, but he can't solve the stand problem.
Right, so oftentimes you can get replacement knobs, you know, the little knobs that you can turn. Sometimes they're held on by a spring. Sometimes there's a little screw in there. Oftentimes you can order replacements of those through Pet Edge or through Ryan's. Be gentle with your knobs, guys, because we do beat this stuff up. And, you know, the newer your products are, the crappier the knobs are. So you got to really be gentle. You got to keep, if you want to know where off is, you might have to repaint it occasionally. So that's the switch. And switches can be replaced too, oftentimes by the repair guy at the vacuum store. We talked about motors. There's two kinds of electrical motors. There's brushes in motors, or there's no brush or brushless motors. Brushless motors have a much more finite lifespan. It turns out brushless motors just don't last. Romani used to have them in her clipper vacs. She did it for a couple years, ended up not carrying the brushless motors anymore because they wear out so much faster.
Well, I don't know about that. I have a Hanvi clipper vac that I've had for about 20 years, and it's a brushless motor.
Maybe it depends on the place you buy the motor.
And maybe it depends on the usage, because okay. I think always that if equipment gets hot and you run it hot a lot. And, you know, like if you're using a Clipper Vac on every dog and there's very little rest time in between, very little cool off time for your motor, same thing goes with your high velocity dryers. If you're using those just like it's constantly in use from one person to the next, day in and day out, you're going to have a much shorter life than if the motor gets a chance to cool off totally in between uses. That's my theory, and I'm sticking with it.
I back that theory up. I could see where, just depending on the manufacturer of the motor and how you use it, it would really, you know, your life could vary. Let's just put a stamp on that saying the life of your brushless motor will vary. But your brushed motor, the motor that has brushes in it, can last pretty much forever. The brushes can be replaced. Like you said, in a canine 2 dryer, it is almost impossible to get to that back motor. My husband couldn't do it. But some of the vacuum repair guys have a little trick and they can get in there, and even some groomers can do it themselves. Brushes are not difficult to replace. Getting to the brush can be difficult. The new canine 3s have access to both motors. That's why they're cool. So it's basically the same kind of dryer, but the motors are in separate canisters instead of together. So that's the skinny on the motors. And then of course there's hoses. Hoses can be replaced and should be replaced if you've got holes in them. Don't wrap a bunch of electrical tape around them like I do. Actually go replace that hose.
I had double K dryer, that box dryer, Challenger 7,000 or whatever their biggest one was, melted its hose.
Ooh.
Over and over again. That dryer, you know, like there are individual units come off an assembly line with quirks.
Yes.
And this dryer, I ultimately retired this dryer because it just kept melting hoses. And there again, my hose would get shorter and shorter. It was melting at the area attached to the box. That was bad. So anyway. Yeah.
I melted an outlet once. Caught a little fire in the back of the vet hospital with a dryer. Uh-huh.
Hair will do that.
I think it was constant beating up and a hot plug and probably people pulling it out, not from the end. And it just caught at the plug end and burnt up the wall a little bit. Luckily, I was back there because we could have lost there were hospitalized animals in there and the whole bit. It would have been a nightmare. But I was right there and it was right next to the tub. So I just grabbed the hose and I hit it from the bathtub with the hose. But yeah, that was pretty exciting.
That didn't scare you to hit water on an electrical outlet?
No, that's okay. I was okay with that.
Yeah, I think we need to have fire extinguishers.
Yeah, I have fire extinguishers.
Well, you know what? I'm bad about that. I don't know where. I couldn't think on the top of my head where my fire extinguisher is right now, especially since my friends came in and reorganized my shop for me. I have no idea what happened to that. I'm going to get a new one next week.
Yeah, they have them like at Walmart, and they're pretty reasonable, like $9 to have one that just
needs to come off. I'm getting one. I'm getting one because, for one thing, in my shop, there's only one exit, and it's way in the front, and we're working way in the back. There's no slipping out the back door if something happens in there. So I thank you, Susie, for bringing this up. I am going to go get a fire extinguisher this weekend and put it in a real obvious place in our back room.
Good. You might even mount it on the wall. They come so
many. Oh, I am. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's see what our friends around the world said. I said, this week we are talking dryer life and maintenance. What dryers are you using? How old is it? And what repairs have you done? Okay, so we have got Brenda Mendez says, I have a Canine 2 and a Chris Christensen Cool Pup. The Canine is maybe 2 years old. Haven't used it too much as I do mostly small dogs and cats at home. The Chris Christensen dryer is almost 7 years old. I just took it in for cleaning. Becky Dwinell says, we use an older 6+ years Canine 2 that is never serviced or had anything done to it other than the external filter cleaned. It stopped working a little while ago. See why in the next comment. We also have 2 master blasters. Other than the hoses getting holes in them, they have held up pretty well. One is older and keeps getting hair in the motor from an ill-fitting cap. No one services them but me. And the next picture that Becky posts is her brushes and what a new brush looks like and what an old brush looks like. And if you guys are curious, go to our Facebook discussion group and take a look at those pictures. Brenda Gazelle says, I have a 25-year-old canine too. I have replaced the brushes twice. Still works like a champ, but looks like Wally, LOL. Wasn't being used in a grooming shop full time. Now I have two Double K Challenge Air Max dryers. I replace brushes once a year as maintenance, but I have had no motor issues. The bad thing is the hose is really easily pierced. This is funny. And the cone nozzle launches at Mach 3 when the plastic gets worn. I would buy it again, but I would love a tougher hose and better attachment option. I have shot that cone nozzle thing off at so many dogs. It's terrible. Brenda adds, oh yeah, I have a Double K stand dryer also. Bought it from another groomer. I use it mostly as a cage dryer when I want to add heat. Otherwise, my cage method is a fan on top or in front of a wire kennel. So that's what our friends around the world have to say about their dryers.
And about the launching of the cone, get those ties. What are those things called? Cable ties. Yeah. So you just have to replace the cable tie every so often when it gets too loose and that nozzle starts, because it's just because it's not on tight. And right. The cable tie will just like tighten it right up.
Or you can actually buy the clip. I think they'll sell the clip that originally comes on there. So that's another option.
Okay.
Well, you guys might be wondering out there in listener land, how could I possibly support the Groom Pod without actually having to support the Groom Pod? Well, folks, we've got a way you can do that. And that way is through our Amazon banner. And if you go to the webpage, thegroompod.com, and you scroll all the way down past all the show notes, you'll see a little ad down there at the bottom for Amazon. And if you click on that ad, it takes you into the Amazon page, and you can do all your regular shopping, and the Groom Pod will get just a tiny little percentage of what you buy. It won't cost you guys any more. So it really does to help support the production costs of putting on the podcast. If you guys do any shopping at Amazon, if you go to our website, scroll down and click on our banner.
The definition du jour.
Let's go on to the definition du jour.
Aha!
All right, so Barbara.
Are we ready to get technical, groomers?
Let's put on our thinking caps.
Put on that thinking cap. So today's definition is pearlizing agent. What are pearlizing agents in shampoos? Now, pearlizing agents, they make the solution pearly.
Ooh, I like pearly.
Ooh, yeah. So so that's an ingredient that you almost can, one of the few that you can recognize by the shampoo itself. Because when it comes out and it's kind of opalescent and the light is shimmering through it, it's pearly, then it probably has glycol stearate or glycol distearate in it.
When I see that, I always think luxury. I don't know why, but it just makes me feel luxurious.
And that's how it's marketed. It's marketed to formulators and shampoo manufacturers to make their product more rich and luxurious. That's exactly what it's for. It's like a cosmetic for the solution, for the formula, for the shampoo itself, because without that, I've made shampoos without using any of these cosmetic extras, like colorants are another cosmetic extra. Without cosmetics, the shampoo formula is thin, watery, gray, and cloudy.
Interesting.
Ugh.
Ew.
Yuck. Yuck. You're not going to buy that stuff.
So
the most common pearlizing agent is glycol stearate, and it actually serves more than just that function in a shampoo. It pearlizes, and if you use enough of it, it will create a white pearly product because it is a white, waxy, crystalline substance. It comes in flakes, and it serves as a thickener. It slightly thickens any product. It is an emollient for the skin, so it leaves the skin soft and smooth. It's a skin conditioner, more so than a hair conditioner. Glycol stearate is an emollient for the skin. Glycol distearate is an occlusive forms of film on the skin to keep moisture from escaping from the skin. But glycol stearate is an emollient, an emulsifier, an emulsion stabilizer. So it helps keep oil and water components mixed together. They don't separate. And it's a slight thickener. So it serves many purposes in addition to making it pearly.
And we can recognize it.
And we can recognize it. You can always tell. And you know, it has that ooh factor.
I used a shampoo very recently, like in the last couple days, that had that ooh factor immediately when I poured it into my bathtub. And I thought, hey, that is really neat. And then when I used it, I thought, gosh, this has a conditioning aspect to it, doesn't it? And I was just purely guessing because I didn't get an ingredient list with the shampoo. But wow, I feel like I'm gaining some knowledge here. That was cool.
Yes, I would almost guarantee that shampoo has glycol stearate in it.
Excellent. Cool. Anything else we should know about it?
It's a very safe ingredient. It's been thoroughly tested. The animal data for acute oral toxicity, skin and eye irritation, and sensitization show that glycol stearate has very low toxicity. It's and very little evidence of skin irritation or hypersensitivity. A few complaints about allergic reaction, but it's extremely rare. Mostly for the levels of 2 to 5%, which is, you know, 5% would be the amount to make a shampoo white and pearly. So it really has good safety value. Chemically, it's an ester of ethylene glycol and stearic acid. It is not a mixture of the two, as some uninformed blogs will have you think. It's a substance of its own. It's also called glycol monostearate or ethylene glycol monostearate, abbreviated EGMS. You'll find EGMS listed as an ingredient in some of the Davis manufacturing products. Davis lists it and they'll say thickening agent, comma, ethylene glycol monostearate, EGMS, fatty acids. And that's just glycol stearate, which is a thickening agent. Okay, so it's kind of funny. I could go on about that, but I won't. So EGMS is also glycol stearate. Glycol distearate is a first cousin. Okay,
cool.
And I think that's all we need to know. I'm writing this up. We'll attach these notes to
We'll
throw them on the website, and I'll put them on my GroomWise blog.
Cool. Perfect. All right. Well, let's take a listen to our WDPN sponsor and hear about all the great shows they offer. Then we'll be back with our At the Table section, which is an interview with Todd Shelley.
Hey, everyone. It's your good pal Kev from the White Dragon Podcast Network, shamelessly interrupting your enjoyment of this tremendous WDPN podcast you're listening to basically shill to you. Bear with me here, folks. This will be brief. I know what you're all thinking. You're loving the tremendous audio spectacle currently delighting your auditory senses, and you're lamenting the fact that the stars of the WDPN are only around for you 1 hour per week, right? Well, you're wrong. We've got a whole slew of shows that will delight, entertain, and captivate you all week long. And the best part is that we've got something for everyone. Are you looking for something your whole family can enjoy? Well, look no further than Two Men and the Mouse, the flagship show of WDPN focusing on the magic and wonder of Walt Disney World. Pete Mandel and myself share our love of the most magical place on Earth as we count down the latest and greatest news of the week before diving deep into a featured topic. Maybe you're a fan of geek TV and movies. You love the world established in shows such as Arrow, Gotham, The Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Doctor Who, and so many more. Well, for you, we've got the Geek Watchtower. I'm joined each week by a special guest host as we review the latest installments of our favorite geek-centric media. Sometimes, though, the universe of geek pop culture can be a little too all-consuming and you need to go broad. That's why we've got Bat Squad Radio, hosted by the YouTube comedy trio known as the New Jersey Bat Squad. You'll hear me as Kev L, along with Bat Dave and Spider Denny, detailing the goings-on throughout all of geekdom. Perhaps you're more of a sports entertainment fan. Well, WDPN's got that covered as well. Step inside the world of professional wrestling with Ring Ropes Radio, the all-new pro wrestling podcast of WDPN. Kevin Clark and I present to you all the viewpoints of two 10-plus years veterans of the wrestling business and supplement that with special interviews with the stars of wrestling's past, present, and future. Want more information on where you can find this plethora of internet audio entertainment? Well, head over to Facebook.com/WD Podcast Network and give us a like for all the latest news and new shows and episodes. Okay, I'm all done. I told you it would be quick. Well, this wasn't exactly quick, but whatever. Back to the show. Enjoy it, and thank you for listening to the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
Okay, so here we are back with Todd. And Barbara, I spent about 10 minutes with Todd talking about him, talking with him about the future of Barkley and the shows and all that stuff. And the trick is you're going to have to listen to it online because I haven't edited it yet, so I can't play
it. You tricked me.
I did. But I know that you'll go back and listen to it, and we can talk a little bit more about your impressions next week.
You don't believe me, but I often listen to our podcasts.
I listen twice sometimes.
I know.
What can I say?
Well, because it's a work of your art. You're doing the editing, and you know what technically you've manipulated and everything, and you love to hear it come together, just like we like to look at our own grooming.
It's true. It's a whole new world. I'm totally digging it.
Okay, hi, groomers. And we're sitting down with Todd Shelley, who is the president of Barkley Productions and also Gwen's son. It's kind of special. So tell me a little bit about growing up the son of Gwen.
Well, I was the son of Gwen, who her best friend in the entire world since first grade was Sally Liddick. So I grew up seeing that, thinking it was normal for my mother and Sally to just thought everybody had mothers had friends who they just did everything with and were around all the time. I got to see the creation of Barkley. I've got to see the growth of Barkley and their relationship to the pet grooming industry, to the grooming industry itself grow. I was fascinated from a very early age about business, entrepreneurship. I thought it was so cool that my mother's friend had her own business. It started out in her basement, and that was always very intriguing to me. And my first job was gathering up flyers to stick in envelopes to mail to groomers. So it was fascinating being around that. So I think I got to see business grow, and I got to see the industry grow at the same time. And that to me was great to see that growing up.
Do you have pets at home?
Oh yes. Yeah. They've always been rescue related. Always some sad story. The very first pet we ever had when I was a kid was in a car accident where my mother was driving. I was in the front seat, standing in the front seat, because back then that was normal. Car sideswiped us, and the woman took us to her house to see, because my dad could pick us up because the car was totaled. Dead puppy she couldn't take care of. So Sally Liddick took the dogs to take care of them, and my mother got the litter, which ended up being her pick was the run of the litter because she was a sad one. That was the first pet, and then we've had ones that we've rescued from the desert and rescued from shelters and so on. And basically, my brother, my sister, myself, and my parents, we've all have various rescued dogs. So, but yeah, that was the pets we had growing up. And then I grew up, and I can talk about growing up, Sally Liddick. She was the opposite. She always had the breed, the poodles. She always had well-bred poodles, her thing. So I got to actually see both worlds growing up.
Always in Pennsylvania?
Yes. Yeah. Always in Pennsylvania, Central Pennsylvania.
Cool. So how did you get started in the job at Barkley? Like, did you come out and work right out of high school in there? Or I know you went to college, didn't you?
Yeah, I grew up doing little odd jobs. Like, during summers, I would do shipping at Barkley. We always did the shows. We always grunts at the shows, which we thought was the coolest thing because we could carry around walkie-talkies, we called them back then, and we thought that meant we were important. But now that probably means you're not that important if you haven't. So I worked the shows. I always had summer jobs working in the office and that type of thing. And I actually went to college for psychology, which I realized I didn't want to do that. And I led to some other stuff, which led to sales. And I got a job at Barkley, a full-time job at Barkley doing sales for Groomer to Groomer magazine. And that just led to more and more.
That's kind of where we all started to get to know who you were. But then when you really inherited the big job, then we really start to get to see and get to know you a little bit more at the shows. So what do you like about doing the shows?
I was going to say the speakers that from back then, the John Staskos and Judy Grammer Taxmans and Marlene Romani's, they remember us as the people who took care of them, like getting them, you know, need a grooming table for the seminar, need to be mic'd up. So they knew me before then, but if you weren't one of the speakers, you wouldn't come onto the scene. Until, like you said, so I started doing sales and that type of thing.
Right.
So, but what was the question?
So what do you love about going to the shows?
Oh, it's easily the camaraderie. There's different aspects that are great. One is the building of the show. Like, you spend so much time organizing and putting together, and it takes so many people to do it. See that all come together is a wonderful thing. In fact, I tell people if they're doing a show for the first time or if they're involved with it, tell them the night they're set up, when all the companies are busy getting set up, and that's total chaos. And then everything's set up late that night. For us, it's always Thursday night, a setup day. And then Friday morning, it's back to chaos with people coming at seminar stuff. So sometime Thursday night, you have to go and walk through when it's quiet. Everything's perfect. Every booth looks perfect. Everything's wonderful. Take a moment to enjoy it because that's what all your work was for. That's the one moment you're going to have to see everything perfect until the chaos starts. But it's great. The chaos is great because it's the fruition of all the work that you put. So that part is extremely rewarding. But the best part is the camaraderie, the people, everything from groomers that are a show for the first time, the wide-eyed excitement that comes with that, to the people that you see over and over again that you build a relationship with or a friendship with. That's easily the best part. And I tell groomers, this is the only situation you're going to have where people sit around and talk about work that are going to want, like, your family doesn't want to hear it, your friends don't want to hear it outside of the grooming industry, and you get to talk all you want to people that want to hear about it. That's what I like the most about the shows.
What's the biggest challenge about putting on a show?
The biggest challenge right from the start is finding a facility that you can use. Conventions are very popular now. It's kind of ironic. I'll go a little sidetracked a little bit. It's kind of ironic. You would think with the internet and stuff that you would go away from that because people are doing so much online, but it's the opposite. People want to have real experiences because they do spend so much time online. But all over the world, every industry, trade shows are growing. That's great news, except that it makes it harder to book a place. Then you have the problem of having to book a place that takes dogs. So the biggest challenge is finding a place you can use and then finding the weekend you can use. I don't want to book a show that's the same weekend as Super Zoo or something. So that's the very first thing. That's the toughest part. And then after that, it's for us, we sort of have a formula as far as, you know how, the people who you want to speak, you know how to market it, and the contest and stuff.
I know you're not supposed to pick your favorite child, but where is your favorite location of a show, and which is your favorite show? Because I know those can be two different things.
Well, that's actually my answer, honestly. I won't give you a political answer, but it sort of depends on, well, you did break it down into two different things.
Yes.
So I just realized that this is going to get me in trouble. The people, by far, it's the Northwest. And I'll even expound on that. I tell people that when they come here the first time, I say, this will be the best audience you're going to have. And one thing I've noticed about the Northwest show that I don't see from other shows is first kind of take like a pride in it, ownership of the show. It's like, that's this is their show. You know, back east, if you live in the Northeast, there's a couple different shows you can go to, and you're in the Southeast or whatever. But here it's like, this is the show, and I hear more people say, we want to see it grow. I feel like they're more of a part of it, it's their show, and I love that. I think that's great. There's different ways you can complain about something. You can say, I have a suggestion how something should be different. I certainly want to hear that. And people here, when they have suggestions, are so nice about it. Sometimes we get people who start by just being telling you how horrible you are because you, instead of just telling you a suggestion, and some of that, you don't get that here. Here, you know, people are just really nice. They're very eager to take in and all. So people-wise, this is my favorite. Location-wise, I definitely like it here. Murano, of course, is the best hotel.
Oh, it's awesome.
Region of the country, I'd probably go with Hershey because it's my backyard.
Right.
And I'm right there. I can drive home every night if I want. I stay at the hotel, but that's my backyard. So.
Okay, so what do we have to look forward to in the future for you guys?
Well, I'll start with talking about this show. For people who have been here, we're, the seminar rooms that we use this year are air wall rooms. Those air walls are going to open up. And that'll be more, we're going to put booths in those spots. We can add a lot more booths to the show. And then we're moving the seminars into the Murano Hotel, which will allow for more seminars and more people in the seminars. So we'll pack in, we'll get a lot more people in very comfortably. So that's specifically for the show. For Barclay itself, we're probably going to start doing more show-related stuff. Partly, we're going to work a little bit with AKC. So we're probably going to do like grooming aspects to some of the larger AKC shows. So this July in Houston.
Great idea.
They're really excited about doing some stuff. So you'll be able to go. The Houston Dog Show will have a grooming component to it for groomers. So there'll be grooming contests. There'll be classes for groomers at that show. And then we'll do that at Yukonuba then, and probably Westminster. Definitely Yukonuba, definitely Houston, and some of the other shows we're going to start doing, which is such a great overlap.
Yep.
So many groomers are involved in the dog show world. And then it also gives us more locations that we can do contests and seminars because, you know, there's a AKC show in every corner of the country.
That's true.
Yes.
Cool. Okay, well, now we've come to the Puppy Cuts Pop Quiz, which is our equivalent to the Boxers or Briefs questions. So nothing too horrible, but it'll be fun. Okay, so... Favorite TV show?
Let's see. Breaking Bad is over, so I have to...
You're not being graded, so
yes,
it's okay.
Yeah. Breaking Bad, let's say Better Call Saul.
Because, okay.
Not since Breaking Bad ended, yeah.
Okay, favorite movie?
That depends on my mood and what I just recently watched. I like dramas, so it would be a drama.
What kind of music do you listen to?
When I was most into music, it was more of like an alternative, a little bit of punk kind of stuff,
Yeah. That
sort of thing. I was a big fan of U2, which isn't punk, but well, I started out punk. I used to be a huge U2 fan, but back in the day, I was punk. I didn't look or have the look of a punk rock kind of person, but
still don't
like the Clash.
Yeah,
love the Clash.
All right, favorite pizza topping?
Let's say pepperoni. Yeah, that's boring. Yeah.
Coke or Pepsi?
You're asking simple questions, I got complicated answers to. Technically, I like the taste of Pepsi better, but I like the history of Coke. Like, I could collect Coke stuff. I have more of an attachment to the history of Coke and the iconic nature of Coke, but I like the taste of Pepsi better. See, nothing's
okay.
A simple answer.
You're right. You're okay in my book. Okay, what animal would you be?
Oh, jeez. I'd be a pit bull.
Ooh, I like that.
I'd be a pit.
Okay.
You know, there's really friendly pits, but if I needed to, I can put the smack down.
I like it. Okay, favorite spot to vacation if you ever did?
The Southwest U.S., do some hiking in Utah or something like that.
Okay, and the last two are big ones. What's your hidden talent?
Hidden talent?
Yeah.
Seems like you should have one of those. I can tell you it's nothing artistic, and it's not singing, it's nothing artistic. So I think I'm pretty good at, I don't know, I think I'm pretty decent at business.
All right, the last one, what's your bad habit?
I quit smoking, so it's not that. Oh, it's lack of organization.
Okay.
It's exactly that. It's the clutter. It would be clutter.
Okay.
Like piles of stuff. Like I don't like having a total complete mess, but I've got piles. That's my biggest, yeah.
Okay, well that's pretty mild in the big picture. Well, where can we find you if we're looking for you online?
Barclay.com is just about done. We're going to have a whole complete revamp, Barclay.com. For now, if we haven't changed it by the time you listen to this, if it has changed, it's going to be a really, really cool site. So Barclay.com and groomertogroomer.com are the two big ones. And then whatever show you're looking for has its own site. So let's go with Barclay.com and groomertogroomer.com is the best place to find us.
Excellent. Thank you, Todd, for giving me a few minutes, and we'll talk to you guys later.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay, well, that was a great interview with Todd, wasn't it?
Great. You did so well, Susie. Good job.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for this week on the Groom Pod. We look forward to joining you guys again next week. Bye, Barbara.
Bye, Susie. Bye, groomers. Have a good grooming week.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.